This is a very wearying one. It's unpleasant to read. Unrewarding. Because Findus frees the card at sea and then add a crumb crisp coating. Ah, that's tough, crumb crisp coating.
Welcome to the Great American Pop Culture Quiz Show, the podcast who also had to change their name from Deerfield Academy. I'm your host, Taylor Cole, and I'm here with Thomas, got that dog in him, Todd.
I'm here to make it rough for my opponents.
Kate, taking over the world, Stuart Hodges.
I know what we're going to do today, and it's kick your butt.
And Trip, high roller pain.
Ruta Lee says I should treat you brutally.
Hey, everybody, and thanks for joining us for another match. We have arrived at the second elimination match in our Season 10 Carousel Division. Keeping the scores, as always, let's say hello to Score Master Dan. Hi, Dan.
Hi there, Taylor. It's been a bit of a rough day. Yesterday, my son went on a class trip to go see Hamilton. You know, my wife and I haven't seen it in the theater. He's been really judgy about it ever since. It's quite a thing.
That's what the kids do these days. Thank you, Dan. And also joining us, working the boards, it's Production Master Dave. Hi, Dave.
Mr. North to South American, all the ships at sea. Let's go to France.
Well, that sounds like it's time to get into our first game of the day. It's a round of My Champion. This is the game where each one of our players has picked a champion from somewhere out in the world of pop culture. But we pick the battle those champions are fighting. New to our show today, it's Trivia Kingpin Thomas Todd. Thomas, who is your champion today?
I have chosen Luke Danes from Gilmore Girls.
You heard her here just last season, and she's back to compete again. It's voracious reader and the other person who enjoyed Dan's Kurt Girdle joke, Kate Stewart Hodges. Kate, who is your champion today?
Today, it's Ferb Fletcher from the show Phineas and Ferb.
He made it to the playoffs in Season 3, and now he's back in Season 10. It's crossword constructor Trip Payne. Trip, who have you got for your champion?
My champion is the yodely guy from The Price is Right game, Cliffhangers.
All right, three champions are locked in. Scoremaster Dan is on judging duties today, so let's go ahead and spin the scenario wheel. Today's scenario asks, which champion is most likely to fail a Turing test, leading a panel chatting with them remotely to believe that they are, in fact, an artificial intelligence? Thomas, why is Luke Danes of Stars Hollow going to fail a Turing test, leading a panel chatting with them remotely to believe that they are, in fact, an artificial intelligence?
Well, Luke Danes is a classic misanthrope, so he spends much of his time staring blankly at actual human beings who are attempting to interact with him. He's a fairly unfeeling soul, someone who's been beaten down by a lifetime of solitude. He also recites a lot of canned dialogue, which could make it sound like someone is writing for him, because there's no way human beings should be able to talk that fast.
Thank you, Thomas. All right, Kate, why is Ferb Fletcher, he of Phidias and Ferb, going to fail a Turing test, tricking a panel into thinking that he is a robot?
Well, come on. Ferb, traditionally, he doesn't speak unless there's some grand, intelligent question that needs to be answered. So I have the feeling that his answers, as highly intelligent as they are, would probably fool an audience into thinking that he's perhaps a robot, considering he doesn't really speak in your general casual terms.
Thank you, Kate. All right, Trip, make the case for the yodely guy as being the one to be most likely to fail a Turing test, leading a panel chatting with them remotely to believe that they are, in fact, an artificial intelligence.
Well, the yodely guy does have a number of traditionally human elements to him. I mean, he's a dapper dresser in his lederhosen and jaunty hat. He has a steady job, a very, very steady job. But in other ways, he doesn't act human at all. I mean, here he goes on the verge of certain death. He gets up to 23, 24, 25. And even as he topples over a cliff, he still has a song on his lips, yodeling his way to his demise. That's not very human. And also, there's the tiny fact that he is, in fact, an inanimate object.
Oh.
All right. Three solid arguments, but it's ultimately up to Dan to determine today's winner. Dan, who's it going to be?
All right. Well, see, we have no idea what the players are going to bring to the table when we write the challenge. So once I heard all of the players, I thought this was going to be a slam dunk. But some of the arguments, I think, made sense. I mean, the idea for Luke Danes, the idea that, yeah, he doesn't sound like a real human being because he's in Gilmore Girls, so he doesn't talk like a real human being at all. Someone could think that's a robot. That's a good argument. You know, for Kate's finish, he just doesn't say anything. He just spouts off some nonsense that sounds kind of profound. That sounds like a robot. But sorry, guys, nothing's going to sound as much like a robot as an actual little robot that just goes, eh, and falls off a cliff. So the winner has to be Trip and the Yodely guy.
Good job.
Nice job, Trip. You have won my champion, which means you get to take a crack at the half point. Answer this question correctly, and you will get half a point to your name, possibly breaking a tie before a tie even happens. Here is your half point question. This 1986 movie has a robot which has been struck by lightning prove that he's sentient by taking a Rorschach test and telling a joke.
Would that be Short Circuit?
Correct, that is Short Circuit. Now you've got the half point, Trip, and you get to go first in round one, Cryptic Clues. Dan spent his vacation in the UK this year where he relaxed, saw the sights, and got really into cryptic crosswords, so he wants to share the joy with you. In this game, you'll get a clue that can be divided into two clues, both pointing to the same word from pop culture. You then puzzle out what they're referring to. For instance, if we gave you the clue, blockbuster historical romance comes before the Greek gods, you'd know the answer was...
Titanic.
Titanic, because Titanic is a blockbuster historical drama, and the Titanic titans of mythology came before the Greek gods. That answer would get you 10 points. If you need some help, we can tell you more about the pop culture property being referred to, but then a correct answer is only worth 5. Let's start it with Trip. A cartoon squirrel marked by obstacles or problems. 5 letters.
A cartoon squirrel... Oh, that would probably be Rocky from Rocky and Bullwinkle.
Yes, because Rocky is a cartoon squirrel, and Rocky can mean marked by obstacles or problems. Correct for 10. Next up to Kate. It's a Spice World sand structure. 4 letters.
That would be a dune.
Yes, dune is a world of spice and a structure of sand. Over to Thomas. A speedy blue mascot related to sound. 5 letters.
A speedy blue mascot related to sound. That would be Sonic.
10s across the board for all our players. Next, we are back to Trip. Jazz drama with a brutal instructor is the cause of a chronic pain condition. 8 letters.
Whiplash.
Keeping the streak going. Kate, a quirky mad scientist helps the FBI investigate decorative strings. 6 letters.
Decorative strings? Okay, knitting hooked me up on a question the last time I was here. A quirky scientist. Yeah, let me have the hint.
Your 6-letter word is the title of a 2008 TV series.
Ugh, it's not Fringe. It's... Is it? F-R-I-N-G-E. It is Fringe. That's my answer, Fringe.
Correct for 5, yes.
I'm over here with my hands up.
Took a second.
Kate, you just scared the heck out of me. I'm like, oh my God, did I get the wrong number of letters in this clue? What did I do wrong?
Amazing. All right, we are over to Thomas. A character who leaves a heroine, moves to L.A., and fights demons as a divine messenger. 5 letters.
I'll take the clue, the hint.
This character is from a 1997 TV series as well as his own 1999 spinoff.
Pass.
Trip knows this one.
Yeah, I think it's Angel.
From the Buffyverse, that is Angel. Trip, we are back to you. A mute ninja commando rolls 2 ones. 9 letters.
I don't really know the pop culture property that well, but I believe that's Snake Eyes.
From the G.I. Joe universe, that is Snake Eyes. next to Kate, an animated spy uses a bow. Six letters.
An animated spy uses a bow. An animated spy uses a bow. That's an archer. I'm going to go with Archer.
Archer is correct, that 2009 series. Thomas, we are back to you. A character repeatedly saved by Link inspires a Jazz Age writer, five letters.
Would that be Zelda?
Zelda is correct, and it'll take us into our first update on the scores from Scoremaster Dan.
You know, Joe, whenever we start a new format of questions, I'm always worried, oh my god, is everyone going to get it? But our players are doing phenomenally well with this one. Right now, Thomas has 20 points, Kate has 25, and Tripp is in the lead. He's perfect so far. He has 30 points and the half point.
All right, Tripp, see if you can keep that streak up with this next cryptic clue. Brown coats in space light up beetle. Seven letters.
Brown coats in space light up beetle. Okay. It took me a minute to remember what brown coat was. Firefly.
Yes, that sci-fi series. Back to Kate. An 80s action flick with Ray Don Chong not wearing underwear. Eight letters.
An 80s action movie with Ray Don Chong not wearing underwear. Ah, that would be Commando.
Good for Ted. Next to Thomas, an exploration of the seedy side of early Hollywood has a noted garden. Seven letters.
Early expose of early Hollywood has a noted garden. I'll take the hint.
This is the title of a 2022 movie.
Oh, gosh. This is a movie I did not see, but intentionally so. Pass.
Tripp knows this one.
Babylon. And you were right not to see it.
We've been litigating Babylon a lot on this show recently.
It's a hot mess.
A hot mess that I love, and we're moving on before anyone can talk about it further.
Wait, do you mean the hot mess of the elephant's dung? Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, exactly. One more cryptic clue for player. This is for Tripp. A character who's a doctor, not a miracle worker, of rigid body tissue. Five letters.
I was thinking that was bones, but is that tissue? I mean, that's the doctor, right? Bones McCoy? All right, I'll say bones.
Bones are human tissue, yes, and that is Bones McCoy from Star Trek. Next to Kate, a hooded billionaire with prominent salmon ladder symbolically points.
The only hooded figure I can think of on TV is Oliver Queen from Arrow. So Arrow is going to be my answer.
And an arrow is a symbol that points at things. That is Arrow. And closing out the round with Thomas. An early slasher flick is dangerously unstable. Six letters.
Dangerously unstable. Early slasher flick. I'll take the hint.
It's the title of a 1960 movie.
Pass.
That's Alfred Hitchcock's Psycho. Well, that'll do it for round one. Up next, the scores from Dan and on to round two. Hey, listeners, Taylor here to tell you about what's going on the Great American Pop Culture Quiz Show Membership Club. Right now, head over to usaquizshow.com/club and subscribe at any level, and you will get ad-free episodes that sometimes drop up to a week before they hit the regular public feed. You'll also get access to our Discord channel, where we're talking this show, movies, TV, music, all things pop culture, plus the communities for all the other great Through Methods podcasts. That's Extra Hot, Great, Listen to Sassy, and Again With This. We're always doing live events, things on Zoom for our players to join in together to have a trivia community all of our own. If you want to hear more of this show, join up and help us get to our next stretch goal. With each goal we hit, we will add an episode per month into our slate. So if you like the show and want a bit more of it, head to usaquizshow.com/club and sign up today.
Going around two, it's time for the Magical Girl Transformation Sequence score break. The Magical Girl Transformation Sequence. Is everyone seeing this? Why are we just standing here? We're waiting? Cool. Right now, Trip is in the lead. He is perfect so far in this game with 50 points and the half point. Kate's got 45. Thomas is trailing with 20, but that means he'll get to go first in round two.
Dan Casino is the only person on this call not wearing glasses, so he doesn't get to call out the Magical Girl Transformation trope. Now, Thomas, you also get to make up some ground with the Threequalizer. I'm going to ask you a question that has three possible answers. You will have three guesses to match as many of those answers as you can, with 10 points to you for each correct answer you can provide. Here is your Threequalizer question. The top 40 U.S. TV shows for the 2022-23 season, according to Nielsen, include three major network airing remakes or revivals of U.S. shows that have the same name as the original series that spawned them. Two are CBS action shows, and one is an NBC procedural. What are those popular remakes or revivals?
Is one of them Hawaii Five-O? Oh.
Two more guesses.
Oh, man. Network TV shows, remakes with the exact same title. These are the TV shows that I don't have DVR for anymore. Is there a current remake of Magnum P.I.? And my third guess will be wrong, but I'm going to say Northern Exposure.
Just for fun.
Love those first two guesses. Very possible. In this case, the number 13 show is The Equalizer. The 26th most popular show is SWAT. And the 37th most popular is the new Law and Order, still under that original title. So no points from the Threequalizer, Thomas, but you do get to go first in round two, entitled Everything Very Old is New Again. Dan really wanted to do a whole game about identifying old radio shows, but since we actually like our players, we've reached a compromise. In this game, you'll hear a clip of a radio show, followed by a clip of a more recent TV or movie version of that same property. You identify the property. So, if we played you this two-part clip...
Got my coat there, Graven?
Check the pockets, bro.
Yeah. Gonna take a lot of proof. I guess you know that. Gonna take a lot of it.
We got it.
What are you doing? Calling for backup. Why? Because there are specific departmental regulations for high-speed pursuit, mister, and we're going to follow every last one.
Forget it, Friday. This is our caller.
You'd know that was a clip from...
Dragnet.
Dragnet, first the radio show from 1949, then the 1987 movie. That answer would get you 20 points. If you need some help, we can tell you about a lead actor from one of the more recent versions, but then a correct answer is only worth 10. Afterwards, you can earn another 10 points with a related follow-up question. Let's kick it off with Thomas.
Well, leap and measures, you poor little thing. What are you doing crawling around out here in the snow?
Gosh, it must be cold.
Of course it's cold. Come here till I pick you up in my arms.
Cecile will pick out all your clothes.
Blue is her best color.
No, red, I think. Your bath is drawn by Mrs. Greer's soap. No bubbles, I think.
What is that property that you heard a radio and non-radio version of?
I didn't recognize the singing. I'll take the hint.
A recent version of this property starred Quvenzhané Wallace.
Quvenzhané Wallace. Is the answer Annie?
Yes, with a Little Orphan Annie old radio serial in that clip. Still for Thomas... This artist sampled Hard Knock Life on his 1998 ghetto anthem.
Straight from New York, it's Jay-Z.
For another 10. All right, our next clip is for Kate.
How so, Chief?
Well, the motive, Abbe. If the motive was robbery, Monsieur Fields is clear. He himself is very wealthy. He would not kill for jewels.
He's only the greatest detective alive.
Oh, he exaggerates. No, he's quite correct, actually.
You're quite the most ludicrous man I have ever seen.
Not the first time I've heard this.
What's that from, Kate?
Oh, that's from, Poirot.
Yes, the mysteries of Detective Hercule Poirot. Still for Kate, In the 2022 Death on the Nile, this jewelry company made a replica of a yellow diamond that had been worn in real life by Audrey Hepburn, Lady Gaga, and Beyoncé.
Ugh. Jewelry. I'm going to say Cartier?
If Audrey Hepburn wore it because she was eating breakfast there,
oh,
that is
Tiffany's.
Tiffany's.
Ugh, rude. It's the only jewelry store my husband knows. It's terrible to miss that.
We are over to Tripp for his first clip.
Going somewhere?
Yes. No. No. Yes. No. Yes. No, we are not. Yes. No. Yes.
Shut up!
What's that from, Tripp?
That is the classic and not-so-classic versions of The Lone Ranger.
Could not have described them better myself, yes. Tripp, this Rossini piece, named after a Swiss folk hero, is closely associated with The Lone Ranger.
That would be the William Tell Overture.
Good for another 10. We are back over to Thomas. Here is your next radio and non-radio clip.
But we policemen have to learn one thing, not turn away when there's an unpleasant job to do. Doing the things we like to do is simple. Doing the things we don't like to do that proves whether or not we're men capable of holding down a man-sized job.
I guess you're right as usual.
All we gotta do is make sure that the people know I'm the one big enough to run it.
And that you are guilty of attempting to bribe an officer of the law.
I have an idea, but I'd like the hint, please.
The more recent version of this property has starred Warren Beatty.
Is it Bugsy?
You're in the right vein. That is Dick Tracy.
Oh.
Still for Thomas, twice since the 1990 movie, Warren Beatty has done short appearances on TCM in character as Dick Tracy. Both times, he was joined by this film critic, who was also in Gremlins 2.
Film critic that was in Gremlins 2 on TCM alongside Warren Beatty as Dick Tracy? Well, I'd love to have seen this.
No.
You really don't.
Let's go with Roger Ebert.
No, because one of these was just earlier this year. It is the still with us Leonard Maltin.
And they are terrible.
They're so bad.
You don't want to have seen
so
it,
stupid.
Thomas.
They aired him at 3 o'clock in the morning just to keep the rights
so he can
Dick
hold
Tracy.
On to the rights.
It's so right. terrible.
All right, we are over to Kate for your next two-part clip.
My feelings toward Veronica can't compare to my feelings for Miss Biddle. But come on, Jug, I want to get that tie and then go over to Miss Biddle's house.
All of us, we were all sent back in time. None of them remember our lives from before we became teenagers again. We need to get back to our future.
Jug, life's good. Why would we want to go back?
Yes, why would you want to go back? That would be the Archie comics.
Adapted on the CW as Riverdale, that is Archie.
Off the rails, you guys.
Truly.
That show. Oof.
Kate, a musical group called the Archies had a number one hit in 1969 with this saccharine song.
I know the group, saccharine. Is called Sugar?
Thomas?
Sugar, Sugar.
Oh, Double Sugar.
Yes.
Rude. I knew the song. I was going to sing it, but...
Shout out to 2 episodes ago for any listeners.
Also, Kate, we always welcome singing answers.
I know.
This is how you get style points. I don't know what the hesitation is.
I'll make sure to change that if there's another song.
Tripp, we are over to you for your next clip.
If Kitty DiCarlo has an alibi for the time of the murder, it's a false alibi.
Uh-huh.
Now, I can break a false alibi if I get enough information.
Mm-hmm.
So, I want the information. Now, you get Mrs. Morgan, Paul.
Mr. Walsh, when the boys got off the bus, did you see which direction they walked?
Towards the ocean, I guess.
I'm sorry, you guess? You guess, but you don't know.
I'm not picking up on the contextual clues here, I guess. I will take the hint.
A later version of this property starred Matthew Rhys.
Matthew Rhys. I don't know if I know this. I do not have a guess. I'm sorry. Pass.
Thomas knows this one.
Perry Mason.
Correct. Still for Tripp. Raymond Burr, who played Perry Mason on TV from 1957 until 1993, was edited into the 1956 U.S. version of this seminal monster movie.
1956 seminal monster movie. Would that be King Kong? Flipped a coin.
That is the U.S. version of Godzilla, where most of the big action sequences were still the same. They just added some Americans into it. We are over to Thomas for this next radio and non-radio clip.
The muscles in his arms and neck stand out like great cords as he tries and tries again to move, only to groan and fall back helplessly. 3 feet away on a small stool rests the jagged...
I'm surrendering to mankind. There's a difference.
You let them handcuff you?
Wouldn't be much of a surrender if I resisted. And if it makes them feel more secure, then all the better for it.
Wow, this sounds like a very powerful guy. I don't get the context as well. Can I take the hint, please?
A later version of this property starred Henry Cavill.
Superman.
Good for 10. Thomas, Superman and Lois star Tyler Hoechlin was previously best known for playing Derek on this Supernatural MTV series.
I don't know the actor or the series, but I'm going to go ahead and take a guess and say Teen Wolf.
Good job.
Guess paid off. All right, Kate, we are back to you. Here's your next clip.
Tell me, why is it you're always mixed up in these cases?
That, Inspector, would be as difficult to answer as it would be to convince Archie of the danger of the female of the species.
Oh, what?
Put more than 3 juniper berries in the marinade would be overwhelming. No, sir. Venice and Raquel's are strong, huh?
I'm pretty sure that's Nero Wolf.
Good for the full 20. Kate, the 1981 NBC version of Nero Wolf starred William Conrad, after this Hollywood legend and Chimes at Midnight director, who didn't get the title role, had demanded the show be done as 90-minute movies that he could film entirely from his home.
Oh my gosh. 1981. I'm gonna guess that this has to do with the original clip that Dave played at the beginning and say that this is possibly Orson Welles.
That's tough, crumb crisp coating.
Nice pull back to the top of the show, Kate.
There's a whole not safe for work part of that clip, which I enjoy immensely.
Tripp, we are back to you. Here's your next clip.
Now, the capital of 25th century America is Niagara. And there it is that Dr. Huer, the great scientist, has his marvelous laboratory.
This is quite a setup.
It's Colonel Daring, commander of Earth's defenses. Take this barbarian in for interrogation.
Hey, wait a minute.
I can think of one pop culture barbarian, but I don't think it's that. So I will take the hint, please.
Buster Crabbe is still probably the best remembered actor in the title role. Maybe Aaron Gray is best remembered as the star of a more recent version?
Well, when I think Buster Crabbe, I think Tarzan. So that will be my guess.
We're talking Buck Rogers in this case.
Ooh.
Still for Tripp, the 1979 Buck Rogers TV show reused props, special effects shots, and sets from this 1978 sci-fi TV series.
Thinking back to my childhood and the crappy sci-fi that was on the TV at the time, I'm going to guess Battlestar Galactica.
Correct for 10. Which will take us into our next score update from Scoremaster Dan.
Well, we're starting to get some separation between our players. Right now, Thomas has 60 points, Tripp has 90 points and the half point, and Kate has taken the lead. She now has 115.
Wow. All right, let's get back into it. Thomas, this next radio and non-radio clip is for you.
The ape has suddenly gone mad, raging, foaming mad, with that peculiar madness which suddenly seizes bull apes and quickly passes. He's running rampant among these people.
Whoa, whoa, whoa!
Dan.
I hear a lot of monkeys howling in that clip, but I'll take the hint.
A later version of this property starred Christopher Lambert.
I don't think I know what the answer is, so I'm going to think about it for a second. And we'll go with Congo.
I love an old-time radio serial of Congo. That sounds great.
Look out, that ape's got a laser! Bad news for you!
We're talking Tarzan in this particular case. You are two different versions of Tarzan. Still for Thomas, in the Disney Tarzan, Tarzan's signature yell is performed by this stentorian British actor who also voiced Boss Nass in The Phantom Menace.
Wow, I don't think I know this, so I'm going to have to take another guess. Stentorian British actor. It's not correct, but I'm going to say Sir Ian McKellen.
I mean, a McKellen Tarzan yell would be great as well. In this case, we're talking Brian Blessed. Stepping in to help out Tony Goldwyn yelling for Tarzan.
And folks, this is my promise to you. If I talk about a stentorian actor, it's always going to be Brian Blessed. The most stentorian actor ever stentorian.
What does that word mean?
It means having a very loud projecting voice.
Yes.
No one's ever told me I had that, but I do.
All right. Next clip is for Kate.
A white cockerel and a hairbrush. Mr. Manderby, I came here against my better judgment, but thank heaven I did. Please let me talk to your daughter at once. Unless I'm very much mistaken, there's devil's work afoot.
Head cocked to the left. Partial deafness in ear. First point of attack. Two. Throat. Paralyzed vocal cords. Stop screaming.
Oh, you gotta love that, because all the Sherlock people are gonna be like, why did you use that clip? Because they hate RDJ, but the answer is Sherlock.
Sherlock Holmes, yes, and in that second clip with Robert Downey Jr. Kate, this brother of Sherlock Holmes has been played by Mark Gatiss, Stephen Fry, Hugh Laurie, and Christopher Lee.
That would be Mycroft Holmes.
Pulled that first name. All right, next clip is for Tripp.
And I attended one of his lectures once in which he offered his followers an easy road to happiness. Or heaven, as he called it.
That's the guy, Father.
Yes.
I don't so much look for mysteries as they come looking for me. And your penchant for spy novels and crossword puzzles? That's forced upon you, is it? You may be right.
Oh, for heaven's sake, crossword puzzle is in this. I really should get this. somebody who has mysteries foisted upon him, and it's not Jessica Fletcher. And we've already had Sherlock. Oh, and we've had Poirot, but this guy's British. I will take the hint.
In later iterations, this character has been played by Mark Williams, who you'll know from all sorts of British mysteries, and of course, playing Ron Weasley's father.
Okay, I can picture him. That doesn't help. So I still need a British detective or something. So, who would this be? I will go with Inspector Morse.
Father Brown, in this case, the British detective, you're guessing.
Yeah, I think you missed the context clue where they call him Father in the first clip.
I did miss that.
Tripp, in a 1954 film version, Father Brown is played by this star of Bridge on the River Kwai and Star Wars.
That would be Alec Guinness.
It's Chewbacca, actually.
Sir Alec Guinness in that role, yes. One more clip for each player. This one is for Thomas.
They land and get out of the rocket ship. Well, Dale, we're here.
What a huge cave. And look at all those little holes in the side.
Those must be the dwellings of my subjects.
The human beings you remember, they'll be more tractable, easier for you to rule. In the name of Ming.
You mean slaves?
Let's say they'll be satisfied with less.
Flash Gordon.
Yes.
Big 20 for Thomas. Thomas, in the 1980 movie, Flash is a football star. In the original comic strips, he was well known for playing this sport at Yale.
Interesting. Updated to football. Let's go with track and field.
In this case, Flash Gordon was a polo player. The hoity-toityest of sports.
They don't play that here.
Flash on a horse?
Speaking of Brian Blessed.
Yeah, there you go. All right, next clip for Kate.
Kate owed these papers tell all about the 7-Eleven Club. Now, there's a secret entrance to Deke Slotkin's office. How much is required for protection?
That is good.
If only Conway is the fighter he proved to be when I was in his home.
If he is not, Mr. Bates.
If he isn't, Cato, I don't know what will happen.
Come closer. I had an idea for the car. Ejector seats.
Ejector seats?
You don't think it's a good idea?
A lot of people didn't think it was a good idea. That would be the Green Hornet.
Yes, with the Michel Gondry-directed version in the second half of that clip.
The white stripes are always a good idea.
That's true.
Truly, they are, yes.
Kate, William Dozier narrated the 1966 Green Hornet TV show, as well as this show that ran concurrently and crossed over with the Green Hornet.
Oh, yeah. I have no idea. I'm just going to say Batman 66.
Absolutely the Adam West Batman series.
Yay!
And the last clip of the game is for Trip.
Margot, criminals all make mistakes. And this killer has already made one. The one that may trip him.
Have you an idea who he is?
You murdered a policeman, Duke.
Who said that?
Weed of crime bears bitter fruit.
I don't like this. Let's get the hell out of here.
Did you think you'd get away with it?
I heard a Margot, but I can't think who Margot would be, since I don't think this is all about Eve. So I am going to ask for the hint.
A later version of this property starred Alec Baldwin.
Okay, what Alec Baldwin movie was based on an older property? Let's see. The Shadow.
Very good.
Yeah, that's Margot Lane, of course.
Of course.
Of course. Totally. Yeah.
Of course, Flash on a Horse.
All right, for Trip. In a 2021 novel, a reimagining of the Shadow that moves him to a dystopian future and gives him magic powers, such as turning into a kitty cat and throwing fireballs, was co-written by this best-selling author who has collaborated with Bill Clinton and Dolly Parton.
Okay, well, I'm just going to name the biggest literary collaborator of our time, and that is James Patterson.
You got it. Well done.
Sorry, folks, I had to throw a question there because I read that book, and it is the worst book I've ever read. It was astonishingly bad.
I was going to say, it sounds terrible.
How could that be bad?
Well done, everybody. Up next, the scores from Dan, and on to our final round. Before we get to the last round of play, it's time for the home version. Correctly answer Dan's pop culture riddle by the time our next episode comes out, and you can win a chance to name a score break right here on the show. Take it away, Dan.
I'm based on a play, but named after a song. It had cultural cachet, but less 33 years on. If the bridge is out, you'll have to spend the night. I have plenty of monsters, but even DJ's not really scared. What am I?
Think you know the answer? Then hit the link in your show notes or go to usaquizshow.com/riddle to send in that answer and win that prize. We'll post the right answer along with our winner over on our social media. We are at USA Quiz Show on Instagram and Twitter. Thanks for the riddle, Dan. How about a score update?
Going into round three, it's time for the Ticket to Ride score break. Ticket to Ride. Sure, traveling across the U.S. by rail. This is supposed to be a realistic game somehow? Right now, Kate, coming off an almost perfect round two, is in lead with 175 points. Trip has 120 points and the half point. Thomas has 80 points. Now, Thomas, that means you're going to have to get 10 correct answers in order to pull in the first. But you can totally do this. You've got this. I think you can do it. Look, you get a good category and everyone else gets old Tucson. You've got this set.
All right. Anything can still happen as we get to the lightning round. Players have their choice of categories and have 90 seconds to answer as many questions in that category as possible. 10 points for each correct answer you can provide. Today's categories are making words move, Sunday is, float like a Kryptonian, and fabulous prizes could be yours. Now, these topics are a little mysterious from their names, so pick the thing you think you're going to do the best on. Or maybe you want to take something that sounds easy away from one of your fellow players. Thomas, in third place, you get to choose first. Which of the four categories would you like? Once again, they are making words move, Sunday is, float like a Kryptonian, and fabulous prizes could be yours.
As an NFL football fan, I will take Sunday is.
Well, if your brain is in the NFL range, I regret to inform you, we're talking about a different television event on Sunday night, and that is watching HBO. This is going to be all about HBO Sunday night programming. 90 seconds on the clock. Timer starts when I finish reading the first question. Thomas, are you ready?
Absolutely.
In 2021, this revival of Sex and the City started with a fatal Peloton incident.
And just like that.
The finale of Winning Time had the Lakers losing to this New England team.
Boston Celtics.
Arliss featured Robert Wool and this star of early seasons of Grey's Anatomy.
Pass.
Kieran Culkin plays Brian Cox's son on this 2018 show.
Succession.
This Game of Thrones prequel began airing in 2022.
House of the Dragon.
This Ernie Hudson prison drama moved to Sunday nights in 2001.
Oz.
Richard Lewis showed up on more than 40 episodes of this series between 2000 and 2021.
Curb Your Enthusiasm.
On High Maintenance, Ben Sinclair's character is credited only as this.
The Dealer?
The Guy. This Medicine Man actress played Dr. Melfi on The Sopranos.
Lorraine Bracco.
Alan Ball has said that this 2001 series was inspired by the death of his sister.
6 Feet Under.
In 2016's Divorce, this Square Pegs actress ended her marriage to Thomas Hayden Church.
Pass.
On The Wire, Prez Prisbalewski leaves the police to take on this job.
Teacher.
Deadwood is set in this U.S. state.
South Dakota.
The last season of this very meta Gary Shandling series actually aired on Friday nights.
The Larry Sanders Show.
In a much-memed White Lotus clip, Jennifer Coolidge says that they are trying to murder her.
The gays!
And we are.
Oh my gosh, what a great round.
Correct, but after the buzzer, great round for Thomas. Dan, let's hear how we did. Let's hear the Thomas report.
Woo. All right, only two passes. The star of Arliss, we all remember Arliss, I think it actually still is running, was Sandra Oh, was there with Robert Wall. And Sarah Jessica Parker is the Square Pegs actress who was in 2016's Divorce, as opposed to all the other Square Pegs actresses that we all remember. Now, remember I said Thomas had to get 10 correct answers, and you all thought I was joking. There's no way he's going to get... Yeah, he got 11. So Thomas now has 190 points and is in the lead.
Nice job.
Well done.
Tripp has 120 points and the half point. That means he'll need to get 7 correct answers in order to pull into first.
All right, Tripp, 3 categories left for you. They are making words move, float like a Kryptonian, and fabulous prizes could be yours.
This is tough because for a living, I do wordplay sort of things, and I am historically a game show addict, as my High Rollers nickname indicated. I'm going to go with fabulous prizes could be mine.
Tripp, you are thinking in the right vein. This is going to be all about classic U.S. game and panel shows. So old school in this category. 90 seconds on the clock. Tripp, are you ready?
Oh, yes.
Steve Harvey has hosted this venerable show since 2010.
Family Feud.
Chuck Barris created this talent show and hosted it from 1977 to 1980.
The Gong Show.
A 1956 episode of I've Got a Secret had the last surviving witness to his assassination.
Pass.
This slot machine-inspired game show brought back Jack Barry as host.
The Joker's Wild.
This American Idol host is replacing Pat Sajak on Wheel of Fortune.
Ryan Seacrest.
In 1956, Herb Stempel claimed that he had been coached to win on this NBC series.
21.
This classic horror star was among the most frequent guests on the 70s Hollywood Squares.
Pass.
Chuck Woolery hosted a 1984 game show based on this crossword board game.
Scrabble.
This legendary comedian hosted You Bet Your Life from 1950 until 1961.
Groucho Marx.
Base Cards and Money Cards feature on this Mark Goodson production.
Card Sharks.
He won a Tony for How to Succeed in Business and was a frequent panelist on Match Game.
Charles Nelson Reilly.
In 1988, TV Guide called this Nickelodeon show gross and insulting to watch.
Double Dare.
This star of Mama's Family hosted Win, Lose, or Draw in the late 80s.
Vicki Lawrence Schultz.
Vicki Lawrence is the answer there. All right, Dan, let's hear the trip report.
Oh, wow. All right, so just a couple passes to go over. An episode in 1956 of I've Got a Secret had the last surviving witness to the Abraham Lincoln assassination. She was barely a little kid at the time and just thought, oh, that poor man, he broke his leg. And the classic horror star who, according to our research, actually was the most frequent guest on the 70s Hollywood Square, surprisingly, was Vincent Price.
Yeah. Aww. Thought of it right afterwards.
Tripp had 10 correct answers, giving him 220 points and the half point. That means in order to take the win, Kate is going to need to get 5 correct answers in her category.
All right, Kate, 2 choices left for you. They are Float Like a Kryptonian and Making Words Move.
Oh, okay, that's a tough one. Making Words Move, I'm kind of like Tripp. I'm all like, oh, words, yes. But then also, you guys are diabolical, so Making Words, maybe no. I think I'm going to go with Float Like a Kryptonian and pray to God that it is something about comics.
You're definitely right that we're in the comics vein, though in this case, it's a very specific comic that we're referencing. This round is all about fictional characters and real-life celebrities who appeared on the cover of the 1978 comic Superman vs. Muhammad Ali.
Oh my God. Okay.
90 seconds on the clock. Kate, are you ready?
I am.
1978's Superman had him in the title role.
Christopher Reeves.
Christopher Reeve. Cartoonist Sergio Aragonés had a decades-long career drawing for this William Gaines magazine.
Pass.
Brazilian football forward Edson Arantes do Nascimento is better known as this.
Pele.
This series was eventually subtitled The Origin of Batman's Butler.
Pass.
Rod Howard served as the narrator on this 2003 sitcom.
Arrested Development.
This Slaughterhouse 5 author showed up in 1986's Back to School.
Kurt Vonnegut.
Vietnam vet Larry Hama created many of the characters for this 80s action cartoon.
G.I. Joe.
Billy Batson says this magic word to get his superpowers.
Shazam.
Joe Namath showed up on an episode of this animated series to warn about Vapor Lock.
Pass.
This Emmy-winning actor played both Cannon and the titular Fat Man.
Pass.
DJ Wolfman Jack played a major role in this 1973 George Lucas movie.
Pass.
Frank Sinatra won a supporting actor Oscar for this World War II epic.
Pass.
Raquel Welch wore a prehistoric bikini as Loana in this 1966 hit.
Barbarella.
That's 1 million years B.C. Jane Fonda was Barbarella. All right, Dan, let's hear the Kate report and our final scores.
Oh, I love when the games are close. All right, let's go through the passes first. Sergio Aragonés, my personal favorite cartoonist, had a decades-long career drawing for Mad Magazine. That's the William Gaines magazine in question. The series that was eventually subtitled The Origin of Batman's Butler is Pennyworth, which was a better show than it really had any right to be. It was just nonsense. Joe Namath showed an episode of The Simpsons to warn about Vapor Lock. The Emmy-winning actor who played Cannon in the titular Fat Man, one of my favorites this season for no particular reason, is William Conrad.
Dan, is this a Thin Man, Fat Man duology sort of, like, you know, thing happening here?
I wasn't going to tell the people that's what I was doing, but that's exactly what I was doing, yes.
I see. I'm sorry. Trade secrets. Crank call.
DJ Wolfman Jack played a major role in the George Lucas movie American Graffiti, and Frank Sinatra won a supporting actor Oscar for From Here to Eternity. Kate needed 5 correct answers in order to take the win. She had 5 correct answers. Oh. So our total file scores are Thomas 190, Triple 220 points at that point. Our winner with 225, it's Kate.
Whoa, sweet girl. Well done, so Kate. Close. Well done, everybody.
Nice job, guys.
You know, I could just count the right answers before Dan announces them, but I'm so glad that I don't, because the way the suspense builds up at the end there, it's great to genuinely not know. Congratulations, Kate. A fantastic, fantastic game. But that does mean it is the end of the road here in Season 10 for Thomas and Trip. But before we go, we'd love to give you a chance to tell our listeners about more places they can find you, things you'd like to point them towards. Thomas, anything from you?
You can listen to my trivia that I write and curate and edit by playing at kingtrivia.com.
Fantastic. And Trip, anything from you you'd like to plug?
I'm currently still available on Twitter or whatever they call it this week. And you can play a lot of my quizzes, including a lot of pop culture quizzes at sporkle.com.
Excellent. And Kate, anything you'd like to plug?
I am on Blue Sky at Pyracantha. I don't tweet about anything that amazing, but definitely some pop culture. And also love to plug the National Center for Transgender Equality. They would love to have some support from you, especially here in the United States.
Excellent. And you can find links to all of these things in your show notes, listeners. And you can follow Kate as the big brain emoji over on our Season 10 bracket. Well, that'll wrap it up for this week. Be sure to join us next time for the second elimination match over in the Pipe Dream division. I've been your host, Taylor Cole, and on behalf of Scoremaster Dan and Production Master Dave, thank you for listening to the Great American Pop Culture Quiz Show.
Don't let anyone tell you things moving to public domain is a good thing. It's not always a good thing. Sometimes it's a very bad thing.
Look forward to The Shadow versus Winnie the Pooh next year.
Yes.